move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm sitting here today with Eddie Brown from givingwordsva.org. Eddie, how are you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Glad to be here.
It's a lot of fun. We were talking, I think it was earlier this week when we set this up, and I don't remember how we got connected, but I just took a ton of notes about what it is that you're doing, how you're doing it, and I don't know if I have another organization I talk to that is as proficient as creating partnerships with businesses than you are, Eddie. This is just amazing. Why don't you give the listeners just a little taste of what it is that you do with Giving Words?
Okay. So Giving Words is a nonprofit that helps single moms and their children. And we do that through partnerships. We're looking at car repair, clothing, just different things that are areas that they struggle with. And we're trying to fill that gap and trying to help them move ahead. And so that's pretty much Giving Words as a whole. And then it kind of developed as me being a single parent. And then my wife was a single parent as well. And so we just took those struggles that we had and then just tried to create Giving Words around that to fill the gaps.
That's really cool. But it's not just like helping out single parents or single moms. You're giving away cars. You're getting cars repaired for free. You're teaching the skills they need to. I mean, just give us a little rundown of the intake form they fill out when getting their car repaired.
Sure. So we pretty much do an intake on a mom, and it's actually set up in the software. We send a mom a link, so she actually does the data input for us. So that reduces the amount of time in-house. And so as she fills out that data, it uploads into the system. And some of the questions we're asking is, do you know how to check your oil? Do you know how to change a spare tire? Do you know how to check your antifreeze? And it just goes through a list of things. And so once we get all that data in and we get the mom scheduled for a repair at one of our partner repair shops, when she gets there, that partner repair shop then can show her how to jump her back, jump a car off or change a spare tire, or also check her oil, because all those things are really important. And so we're able to get that information on the front side and then be able to help train her while she's getting her car repaired as well. So that portion works out really well.
It is just mind-blowing to see how this works, because you were telling me in our little pre-conversation that you partner with a high school shop for them to go in and get some of these basic things done. And you connect the community to the person. You're teaching the skills in high school, and they're connecting with the story of the person in need of the help, and everyone is growing. I think that's just so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. The neat thing for us is, so we are partnered with the high school as well as partner repair shops in the area. And so the process with the high school is where we give away cars, and we also do some car repair there as well. And so it's not only about giving a mom a car and filling the need, it's a process. And when you work through that process and break it down, it touches multiple areas. And that's kind of what we want to do in Giving Words, is not just focus on one point, but many points. And so what happens is those students are working on that car over a period of a week, getting it ready. And so they're putting that work in, and they understand that it's going to go to somebody in need. But the thing that happens is in that transaction, when that mother comes in with the child, they then connect that to a personal relationship. And typically, every car that we've given away, we've usually had 2 to 3 seniors in tears in this process. And that's a character shift, and that's something that we can't buy with money. And so not only are we helping this mom, we're also giving the community the opportunity to donate the car. We're also able to connect the students with this transaction, and teachers as well. And then when this car is given away, you have the teachers that are involved, you have the students that are involved, you have the mother that is involved. And it's so much, it becomes so much more than just about the transaction of the car.
How do you make that approach? Do you like just call the principal and be like, hey, I want your kids to fix cars for me for free?
So what happened, and with Giving Words, everything started with an idea that just continued to grow. And so my son was in the CTE program, which is just career and technical education at the high school. And we would periodically take our cars there to be worked on so the students had things to do. And then my mind started working and was like, well, what if we could flip this and we're actually working on single mother's cars that is a desperate need, and it would fill the void of the students needing to have something to work on, and it would also fill the void of the need in the community. And so you just get double impact, and we're always looking at double or triple impact. And so that's where the idea began. And then I just approached the principal and CTE director, told him about the program that I wanted to create. When getting where it started, we're kind of a grassroots nonprofit. Nobody knows about us. We didn't have a lot of funding. And so the CTE program was crucial for us to have a start. And then we started bringing on partner repair shops. And because we don't want to push so much volume through the school that they're not getting an education, that it becomes about pushing this number out. And so the partner repair shop allows us to divert cars and still meet the need by having those partner repair shops. And the neat thing that I didn't think about the partner repair shops is they're on the front lines. And so they see the single mother come in and not be able to afford the full repair. And she's only able to buy one tire when she really needs two. And a lot of times they try to help out, but it's a vast need out there. So it's difficult to try to meet all those needs. And then Giving Words ends up becoming the middle ground, because we can help these shops facilitate caring out their heart and wanting to help people. And we're kind of able to take those moms in, vet them through a process, so we have targeted resources to a targeted need. It allows the shops to increase their mission and vision for helping others. We become the mediator in that. And then it just kind of, you know, kind of flows. We're able to meet the mom's need. We're able to allow these shops to have the facilitation to meet needs as well. And then with our partner repair shops, our relationship is centered around them being able to give what they can. And so we have some that do it for free. We have some that do four for free, and the fifth one we pay for the parts and they still donate the labor. We've got some that discount rates. And it just really depends on the life cycle of the shop. If it's a new shop, it's up and running, they've got a lot of overhead that they've got to cover, so they can't give us as big of a discount. And then the shops that have been around for a long time, they can give bigger discounts or do it for free. And so it's just kind of a relationship that's just molded back and forth. And that's been, you know, really neat for us to be able to do that.
I love that you're doing that and you're able to connect people in the community that have needs to people that are able to fill those needs. And everyone gets something out of it. What I want to know is, how did you come up with the name Giving Hands? Excuse me, Giving Words.
We went to Honduras in 2008. And while we were over there on a missions trip, I actually saw a young boy digging through a dumpster to get his necessities for the day. And when I saw that, my mind immediately started working and thinking, like, you know, why is this? And how can we flip this? And so I started doing research in Honduras. And if you teach a Honduran English, it moves him from poverty to middle class. And my wife's an English teacher. And so the wheels started turning. And I immediately thought, you know, if we can go to Honduras and teach English, then this child doesn't have to dig out of the dumpster. And so we were actually giving him words of English. And so that's where Giving Words came from. And then from 2008 to 2017, we just had a lot of things happen in the U.S. that didn't allow us to go back to Honduras. My dad had a heart attack. My grandmother needed my assistance and just different things like that. And so as time progressed from 2008 to 2017, we decided to go ahead and open Giving Words in the U.S. That's based on my experience as a single parent and my wife's experience as a single parent. And we want to give words of hope and hands that help. And so the vision was still out there, but the vision just had to mold and shift to what we could do right here, right now. And the hope is to be able to have a Giving Words in Honduras and other locations. And what would happen is the partners that are needed would shift and change based on the demographic.
So are you're saying that you currently don't just partner with high schools and repair shops, you partner with other organizations as well?
Sure. Yes. Yeah. So One of the ones I'm excited about is we actually, you know, if you look at the budget of Vermont, you know, you got housing, you have the car repair section, and then you have clothing. And so we actually partner with the consignment shop. And so basically women in the community will put clothes at the consignment shop on the Giving Words account. When those clothes sell, they fund the account. And then our moms are able to shop at that consignment shop for free with vouchers. And we've had instances where we've had a mom that had court and she didn't have any clothes for court. So she went to the consignment shop and got shoes, pants, dress shirt, the full outfit that she needed for court to look presentable. And it didn't cost anything. You know, we could have went out and bought $100, you know, Target gift card or whatever for clothing, but that takes away from the program. What we could do this way, and it's a non-cost and it fills a need. It allows the community to be involved. It meets a need, and it doesn't cost Giving Words anything. And so that's been really neat for us. We also set up a storage unit locally, and that partnership actually gives us a substantial discount on the rent. And what we have is we have moms that no longer need things that basically go there. And then we have moms that need those things that have been given. And so it's basically a free exchange. And so we have, you know, we've given away strollers, kitchen tables, washer and dryer, just all kind of different things. And that's a non-cost. It costs us about $50 a month to run that program.
I mean, $50 a month, that is something just about anyone can afford, $50 a month. But you had a big Giving Tuesday, as I recall. Did you give away something like 4 cars?
Yes.
How are you able to pull that off?
Yeah, so really it just comes down to partnerships and using the high school. And so we had 4 cars donated. We basically processed those through the high school. And if you look at the Kelley Blue Book, it was around $11,000 of cars. And we had $700 in all 4 cars. And that's basically part cost.
That is really cool. Like, do you solicit for car donations? Do people in the community know what you're doing and they just pony them up? How do you come across that as something that you guys can do?
Yeah, so it's people in the community knowing what we're doing. And then we've actually had families donate multiple cars.
Did you also say that you partner with an appliance repair shop?
Yes. So one of the things we had happen, we had a mom that needed we had somebody donate a dryer and she needed a dryer. And so we picked hers up. And so immediately my mind started thinking, so I can carry this to the dump and throw it away. Or what if we could repair it? So I reached out to a partner repair shop or a repair shop locally here in Louisa and just asked them if they wanted to partner. And they said they'd like to. And so basically what that process is if I have a dryer or refrigerator or a washing machine donated, when I give that away, whatever I pick up, I can carry to that partner repair shop and they'll diagnose it for free, which is a $75 charge. They're also repair it labor free, and then I just pay for the parts. And so I might be able to take a dryer that's broken and turn it around for $15 and then give it away to somebody else. And so it's about taking everything that we have that's available to me and reorganizing it to a target need.
So do single moms just show up and they receive services and then you're done with them? Or do we repurpose that partnership and build on what they've been given?
Yeah. So we continue to have a relationship with them. So, you know, once we kind of have a mom come into Giving Words, we're going to kind of walk alongside them. You know, we've got some that we've repaired their car. You know, we've helped them all with Christmas this year and last year as well. And so we just kind of walk along with them and be a contact and a resource. And if there's one of the neat things about our partnerships as well is we don't want to reinvent the wheel. If we already have a partner that's doing it, then we're going to let them do that. So like, you know, food banks, you know, if we have a mom that has a food disparity and we need to flip her budget around, we can hook her up with the food bank and possibly save her $250 a month that can go back into her budget. So we also, in that intake form, we're asking questions like, have you, you know, are you getting WIC? Are you hooked up with, you know, the food bank and all these different organizations? And if they're not, then we know who we need to get them in contact with to try to help them, because a lot of them don't know. They're just trying to survive day by day and don't know what resources are available in the area.
Is this just a one-man show, or are you running this on your own, or do you have volunteers, paid staff? Do you have teams set up? What does that structure look like?
Sure. So when we first started out, it was just Jenny and I doing Giving Words in the very first year. So we're going into our third year. We have care team moms that actually work with the moms one-on-one, and we're looking at, you know, budgeting, education, just different things like that. And so we're a volunteer based nonprofit right now. Our hope is to grow to the point that we can have paid staff so we can really focus on that mission and vision all day long. The care team moms we brought on this year, it's been very helpful. And then we're just continuing to grow that base. And these are moms that are, we actually have two care team moms that were single moms that come to the program and wanted to give back. So they're care team moms and actually helping other mothers through the program. And then we got moms that are married that have young kids. And then we also have teachers that are care team moms as well.
So it's not just a, hey, fix my car. It's, you know, maybe that's how the relationship begins, but it turns into really a mentoring program where could be single moms that have been helped or others that want to donate their time to teach them different skills. I myself grew up, you know, with a single parent, or I was in foster care as I was growing up. And I know what it looks like to be on that side of it. And it's not what we call fun in the U.S. We don't call it that fun. And it's always, people ask me like, well, how did you like get out of your situation? Like, how did you grow? How did you, you know, move forward? And I was like, well, a lot of it was, you know, forgiveness. It was understanding. It was taking responsibility for the things that I could be responsible for. And then I had organizations like you that were willing to help keep us sheltered, clothed, and fed so that we can, you know, start taking care of our own business. And there's one other like little sliver in there that gets me, is that cheap people, not necessarily broke people or poor people, but cheap people keep themselves broke, or poor people keep themselves broke. I remember always getting into new vehicles all the time because we couldn't afford maintenance, like an oil change. We couldn't afford to do it. So unless someone was helping us out with that, eventually the car would break down and we'd find a way to get another car because we couldn't put aside the, you know, $15 to $20 or more to put together to get just regularly scheduled maintenance done. And to have someone like you that has found a way to partner with so many organizations, the high school repair shops, appliance repair, storage units, and other moms in the community, to get all this thing going as a volunteer-led organization is just phenomenal. I definitely appreciate what it is that you're doing. So kudos to that.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
What are you looking to do in the future? Are you looking to keep what you're doing local, or are you looking to expand?
We're looking to expand. We're, you know, right now we're in that build phase of strengthening local so we can, bring this out regionally and nationally as well. You know, we've got the software in place now to be able to add multiple locations. And so that's a component of looking at regional and national and continuing to put those building blocks together to be able to just mirror this process and try to blueprint this thing. And currently right now, we're even tracking our actual cost to what partner donations are. And as an overall organization, we're running about 40%. Below fair market value with the partnerships that we have. And so what that does is that allows me to help 40% more moms than I would normally be able to help, because we've capitalized on those partnerships. It allows our reach to extend further. And so instead of 100 moms, I'm helping 140. And then if you just multiply that out, that number just continues to get bigger and bigger.
Oh, absolutely. If someone's listening to this right now and they're like, you know what, I don't need to start my own nonprofit, I could just help Eddie at Giving Words expand his vision, what would you hope they would do in response to that kind of prompt within themselves?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we're looking at is having basically legacy builders. And what that is for me is just people that are donating on a monthly basis. And if you break that down, you know, I can take $100,000 and turn it into $140,000 through the partnership. And so if you had 100 people giving $10 a month, that turns into $12,000 and it takes care of one of our grants that we've been getting. And you're not always guaranteed to get grants. And so right now we're operating on grants for the second and this third year. And so that would take care of one of those whole grants and give us a foundation to continue to build off of. And then if you've got 10 businesses given $100 a month, there's another $12,000. And then if you had 10 churches given $100 a month, there's another $12,000. And so just with those, you know, everybody taking a little part, you come up with $36,000 pretty quickly. And then that would subsidize every grant that we've gotten. And then grants, we want to move to a point where we got a stable base financially with legacy people that are building a legacy with us. To where grants are additional funding to add new programs or to add a new location.
What would someone need to do if they wanted to set up a Giving Words in Kentucky?
Right. So to set up like a Giving Words in Kentucky, we would need to develop partnerships there. Some of the things that I see as we start rolling this out to create a Giving Words in a location is you'd start off with a storage unit. And you would start off with a consignment shop because both of those, you're looking at low cost and then obviously volunteers. And then if you have a partner church as well, you can pull volunteers from there as well.
That's cool. I love the vision and I love the mission. What would you tell someone that is in their nonprofit, they're trying to get partnerships? They say, wow, Eddie's got all these partnerships going on. Like, what would you tell them to encourage them and have them go ask the big scary ask?
I think the big thing for me is when I began to ask, I went in and just asked a question about partnership, kind of told them what we were doing, and I let them define what they gave. I didn't say, you know, hey, I need $100. I need you to do repairs for me for free. I need you to do it. I didn't go in with the need. I went in with, hey, here's my vision. This is what we're doing. Would you like to be a part of it? And then I let them decide what part they want to play in it.
Okay. See, that's not so scary, people. I get questions all the time. Like, I've seen your episode with Jeff Riley. He talks about sponsorships and partnerships. And I've seen your talk with, you know, Bruce Rosenthal and how he does it differently. And now you've got another guy talking about how he does partnerships. Like, I can't even ask. Well, here's the deal, people that are listening right now. People out there want to do good. They do. They just don't know always how to do good or the best way to impact their community. So if you come to them with what you're trying to do and what your vision and mission is, let them fill in some of the blanks, because you might have an ask for $500 and it turns out they have the capacity at $2,000 a month. Had you only asked or let them come up with an offer from their end, they may not be familiar with how this partnership might work. And then you can refer to the conversation between me and Eddie to see how that might look as a type of partnership that you're setting up and how that could really impact and affect the people in your community. It might be that, Travis, this was a great episode and all, but I've got to go back over it. I've got to take notes and I got to contact Eddie. Where are folks going to get a hold of you at, Eddie?
All our information is on the website, just givingwordsva.org. They also can email me, just office@givingwordsva.org. And then just to kind of go back on the partnerships a little bit. So based on our partnerships, I think within the first half of the year, we spent about $16,000, but I would have needed $26,000. So we had $10,000 worth of services that were donated. And so if I would have went to the partners and then, you know, hey, you're a partner repair shop, can you donate to us? It was a far greater benefit to have them offer repair, opposed to actually handing me dollars, because then they can write that off their taxes. And so there's an additional benefit to them for that as well.
Yeah. It's not money directly out of their pocket like a donation would be, whereas gifting services is a little bit easier to handle, especially if the parts are paid for and that turns into a better write-off. It's not like they get the money and then they have it and they have to decide if they want to give it to you or not. It just becomes part of their regular workday and a little bit of accounting. So that's really cool how that works. Now, I've been to your website and there's some music playing as the website loads, but I've not heard this song anywhere else. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So early on, I had a vision to have a song that was tailored and written specifically for the moms that we serve. And so I'm not musically inclined and I don't play instruments. And so I wasn't quite sure how this vision was going to play out. But over a period of time, I met some new friends, and I was actually at a church, and we heard a lady sing, and she was talking about all of her songs and how she wrote them, and that she had wrote some for her grandparents and family and friends for Christmas. And I just had the prompting, like, she needs to write this song for us. And so I leaned over to my wife and told her that I was going to be asking them to write the Giving Heart song. And she told me I couldn't go up to strangers and ask them to write us a song. And then I just told her I'd be right back. And so I just basically walked up to them. They didn't know me from anywhere. And I said, hey, I need you to write me a song. This is what it's about. And so they said, yes, we'd love you to write that. We'd love to write that for you. And so over a year period of time, I began to send them our mom stories. And we do like a hashtag mom story Monday. And so that's where our moms are telling us, like, you know, this is what this meant to me. This is how this helped. This is the struggle I was having. So anybody can go on Facebook and search hashtag mom story Monday, and you'll see these stories pop up. So that song was written off of our first year of mothers that we helped. And that was incorporated into that song.
That is so cool. I love that you were able to make the approach, like, you can't do that. And you're like, yeah, okay, I'll be right back. I'm going to ask her anyway. Second off, you touched a little bit on getting your participants involved in the greater mission of what you're doing and using the hashtag. What was the hashtag again?
It's hashtag Mom Story Monday.
Hashtag Mom Story Monday. Those of you not using hashtags right now, they're helpful for exposure in one aspect, and there's people that have trending hashtags and all that. On the other side, it's a great way to keep track of the stuff that you're doing. Because if Eddie goes back and he searches hashtag Mom Story Monday, he can find all those stories that were submitted. And if not, in Facebook writ large, he can look into his group and go through the same thing and find out every time that hashtag was used. And now he can go back through and look at all those stories without having to do some kind of generic search or scroll forever through his page. So hashtags are a great way to keep things organized and get some eyeballs on it. But that's really cool that you went up and it's like, hey, I need a song. Let's write it. Let's get it done. So many startup nonprofits they're fearful of asking, or they don't think they're worthy enough to ask, or they don't think they've accomplished enough to make the ask. What is it about your approach and the way that you do it? Do you just slice right through that?
You know, I really struggled as a single parent, and Jenny struggled too. She's, you know, she was a single parent for 10 years, and she comes from four generations of single parents. And I've seen the difficulty. My mom was raised by a single parent. Three of her brothers and sisters went into foster care, and she was raised by one of my aunts. And so really for me, failure is not an option. And so when failure becomes not an option, you're willing to do things that you may not normally be willing to do. And for me, for Giving Words, I'm blessed to be a part of Giving Words and some of the knowledge that has went into this over my experience. But my goal for Giving Words and creating this on a local, regional, national level is for it to outlive my life cycle and for me to be able to pass that torch on. And so that's a really big component of me. I'm living in my dash and I'm not going to be here forever. And so we're building systems and processes where this can carry on way after I'm gone. And if you look at the disparity and the difficulties of a single mom, I'm looking at something that the way it is and trying to move the needle to the way it should be. And a single mom shouldn't have to struggle. That means then their children have to struggle. And so what kind of mechanism can I put into place where this mom and this child can color together or play games together and not be worrying about how they're going to eat or how they're going to get to work? And so that's the component that I see Giving Words playing. And that's why I see Giving Words on a local, regional, national level, because every single community has this disparity. It's 16.5 million single mothers in the U.S. You know, when I began to look at that number, the reason I started building Giving Words the way I did is I looked at the principle right out of the Bible, the 5 to 5,000 principle out of the Bible. And how do I take little and make much? Because I need to do the impossible. And so, you know, Giving Words is faith-based. I've seen God do some pretty amazing things. For instance, the song that we have, you know, being able to give four cars away on Giving Tuesday to four mothers in need for $700 is not something that seems possible. You can't even buy a car. And, you know, all these cars had fresh inspection stickers and no repairs required either. It's not like we bought this car and gave it away that may have issues. They had went through a 52-point check at the high school. So that's kind of where it comes to, you know, for me, is that failure is not an option. And so that's why I just kind of slice through stuff with that mindset. And so there you have it.
We're getting it done, and here we go. And then Eddie's running around talking to strangers about writing him music and partnering with his repair shops and all this. This is fantastic, Eddie. I love what you're doing. I love that it's not about you, that you're finding a way to make it work. In the before times or during COVID times, you're making things happen, and you're providing more than just a single point service. You're providing education. You're creating teams with these Go Mom teams that go out and they impact the other single moms in the area. You really do care, and it's evident in everything that you do. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Eddie. Is there anything that we can do for you?
Yeah, just you know, awareness. Like if you go to our Facebook page and you're there on it, like it, share the Facebook page out. You know, with the partnership aspect, we're always looking for partners. And really what we're trying to do now is build that core, because we don't want to replicate problems. So we're trying to really build that base strong with the systems and processes that need to be in place, you know, proper employees and locations that they need to be in, so we can really mirror this, you know, running on all eight cylinders. And so, like, if you want to go to the website or go to the Facebook page and donate and be a legacy donor, and do that on a monthly basis, that'll help build our strength. You know, if you want to be a partner, we can look at those options and talk about those as well. One of the things we started doing is Thankful Thursdays, and that's our partner day. And so what we do is we highlight our partners on that day. And so we're trying to create a Giving Words network, which is you would have partners all over the U.S. that would have like a proud partner sticker. And so moms or females or the public in general would know to use that shop, because when they spend money at that shop, they're actually helping single moms while they do it.
That's so cool. Hey, thanks again for being on the show today, Eddie.
I appreciate it.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.